Senator James Lankford is chairman of the Senate Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs Subcommittee on Regulatory Affairs and Federal Management. Senator, congratulations on a big day today, your first speech on the floor of the Senate and attending the National Day of Prayer, and I thank you for taking some time to join me today. You and some of your colleagues are introducing some bills that are relevant to what's going on in the federal government. Tell me, please, first about the Truth in Settlements Act that you worked on with Senator Warren. Thank you for your time, sir.
Oh, sure. No, glad to be able to do it. The Truth in Settlements is basically it's a transparency document. It's one of the things that we should do as a nation, that if we make an agreement, any kind of settlement, that shouldn't be just a hidden or confidential agreement when it affects the federal taxpayer. So this allows that basic transparency to come out. And if there is a need based on some other reason for making it confidential, then there's just a reason that's proposed out there. A lot of settlements are made with a lot of large companies. Some of those settlements are advertised. This was a billion-dollar settlement, but when you get the details of it, the majority of it really wasn't a settlement, or it was a lot of tax exempt, or it was the push to be able to say this group needs to be able to make these particular payments, these individuals, and it really doesn't affect the taxpayer. If the taxpayer is told it's a billion-dollar settlement, they just need to know where that breaks down. Basic transparency and also oversight for our agencies that do negotiate these things on behalf of the American taxpayer.
So did you see a shortcoming at a particular agency, or was it just the lack of consistency across the way, agencies, the way they report these, that made you and Senator Warren think this was necessary?
No, it's a lack of consistency, and it's also just the advertised settlement that you hear so often come out in the news, that we get the details later on it, and what was advertised to the American taxpayer was not what actually occurred. And so our statement is, if you're going to make these settlements, we understand that completely. You're going to do what's best for the taxpayer. We're going to do what's best for the nation, but actually put out factual information that's fully transparent when it's all said and done.
Your office says the Truth in Settlements Act will require more accessible and detailed disclosures about agreements. Does the bill propose a vehicle by which agencies would have to do that, or is that to be determined in a future time?
No, they would do that through the existing systems. There's already a way that they can actually distribute that information after it's said and done. So we're not trying to create additional bureaucracy or paperwork on it. The existing settlements they make just includes the details and also allows the disclosure of what's tax exempt, what's not tax exempt, how does this break down, what percentage of it is something that they will pay out to individuals or to the taxpayer.
I don't think it should be lost on folks that you collaborated on this bill with Senator Warren, and I guess I'm stating it correctly that you're at different places on the ideological spectrum, Senator.
You know what? We are in different places. I am committed to finding places where we can find common ground and trying to get some things that are done and they're done right for the taxpayers. I am a person that's very, very conservative. She's a person that's obviously very, very progressive, but there are some areas of intersection. She wanted to go this bill a lot different than I did. There were other areas that I would have included that she would not do. This was an area of common ground we can't agree on that's still a good thing.
Another bill, speaking of taxpayers, that includes that word in its titles, the Taxpayers' Right to Know Act. The notes from your office say it would require the federal government to make public the details, costs, and performance metrics of every federal program. One of the things that frustrated your predecessor in the Senate, Senator Coburn, was the fact that we couldn't even get to a definitive list of every federal program. Is that a necessary step before this bill, if it were to become law, would be implemented, sir?
It is. So we have to provide the ability to define what's a program activity. And for all those folks that are within the federal structure will understand the difference between program and program activity. We have to get some sort of list. What do we do as a federal government? If we have duplication, and we do, and everyone knows that we do, there should be a way to be able to articulate and list out what are all the different programs that we have. How many employees do we have assigned to each? How much does each cost? How are they evaluated if they're evaluated? How many people do they serve? It's what every single business does for every single activity that they do. They try to find ways to evaluate the cost. That gives us the opportunity as legislators to break down the list and to say we're doing the same thing 10 times. Maybe we need to do all 10. Maybe we need to look at it and say these 5 don't have good evaluations. They're not functioning well. These 5s do. So take the money from one and give it to the other and feed the lions there of which one's more effective, and to find a way to be able to do the task that we're doing without the duplication. Yesterday, we had a bill that we went back and forth on the floor, including myself, dealing with bulletproof vests. We've had 2 bulletproof vest programs in the federal government for the last 20 years. 2 different applications, 2 different processes, 2 different sets of people that actually follow those applications. If we're going to do bulletproof vests, and send those out to local law enforcement. That's an honorable thing to do. But providing two different systems, two different sets of applications, is not good use of our funds. So we need to find a better way to be able to do that system.
Senator James Lankford's chairman of the Senate Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs Subcommittee on Regulatory Affairs and the Federal Government. My notes say this bill would create a central database for financial data and performance metrics for every federal program. Would the metrics that are used be some metrics that already exist? For example, the Bush administration had the PART scheme. The Obama administration has its setup. Do any of those work, or would it be something that would be able to change from administration to administration, or would it be a different set of performance metrics maybe not now being used?
I did not try to define how they do their performance metrics. What I try to define is which program is evaluated, how is it evaluated, and if it is evaluated, how good was that evaluation? This allows the opportunity for the agency head. They do need to have some latitude to be able to step in and look at their agency and performance, but to require some basic metrics beyond just how many people were added into a program. Many of the programs evaluate based on the number of users of that program. That's not necessarily a good evaluation point. It's the effectiveness of that program for those individuals that receive the benefit from it. So that's one of the many things that we have to work out on this. But I don't want to box in all of our agency heads and all of our agencies, try to have a single form of evaluation, because quite frankly, there's pretty wide diversity among our agencies. And if we try to do one evaluation, it's not going to work for most.
Is there a role, do you think, for the Government Accountability Office to look over these performance metrics to make sure they're measuring the right things?
Do
you believe the agencies should be able to self-report?
Yeah, no question. The agency has to be able to report this, but GAO should have every ability, as well as the IG, when the agencies to be able to evaluate how that's being done. Is it being done in the most ethical format? Is it set up in a way that actually has good performance metrics? Or is it set up basically to win? Everyone knows there is a way to be able to set up your evaluation that everyone's going to get an A. That's not what a true evaluation is. So the GAO can be very, very involved in recommendations on that. The IG can be involved and make sure the oversight is done correctly.
And it strikes me the GAO and the IG can be involved in a situation, too, where you and they look at a program and say it has the makings of being successful. It isn't yet. So rather than killing it, we should give it a chance to try to figure out its way.
That's correct. That's correct. If I have a tree in my backyard that's having a tough time, I'm not going to just go chop it down. I'm going to find a way to fertilize it, take care of it, and to say this has all the potential to be a really great tree. So it doesn't help us to go just start chopping. But we don't have the metrics right now. We don't have the ability to be able to systematically go through the federal database and to be able to evaluate what programs are out there. And so we end up with sloppy methods like sequester to be able to deal with spending issues rather than dealing with surgical, what's working, what's not working. Let's try to combine some things. We're not looking to fire people, but we are looking to try to put people in a place that's more effective, and what they do has a greater benefit to the taxpayer.
Mr. Chairman, you and your Democratic colleague on the subcommittee, Senator Heitkamp from North Dakota, are recognizing federal employees for Public Service Recognition Week this week. What is your goal as the leader of this subcommittee to reinforce what I'm starting to hear all throughout the Republican caucus, which is we want to try to pull back on the Fed bashing that's gone on over the past couple of years, half decade or so?
Right, and I've heard that already. I have to say, in Oklahoma, we don't play in that game. the reason so is 20 years ago in Oklahoma City, we had a horrible killer that pulled up in front of a federal building and exploded a truck bomb and killed 168 people, most of those federal employees. I understand extremely well how federal employees of all different types of agencies literally put their lives on the line and put their families on the line every single day to be able to serve the nation. So they do incredible service very quietly. Many of them are stuck in bureaucracies where they see things that could improve and could be better, but they feel like no one's listening to them. Senator Heitkamp and I, we are trying to work together to find a way to be able to get a voice to individuals that have great ideas, but also to be able to encourage some of those folks to say, don't lose heart. You're doing a great service, and the nation appreciates it. Is there a way to do things more efficiently? Absolutely there is. We need to do it the most efficient way possible. I think those federal employees would also say the same thing. So let's not ignore it. But let's also encourage the folks that are doing a great job.
Last question, Senator. I appreciate your time today. I spoke recently to your counterpart in the House Oversight and Government Reform Committee, the chair of the Subcommittee on Government Operations, Congressman Meadows, and his message sounded very similar to what you just said. Have you had a chance to work with him as the chairman of each of these respective subcommittees to formulate an agenda or a way that you'd like to move forward on the overall government operations oversight?
We have not yet. Our staff has had the opportunity to visit Congressman Meadows. He and I knew each other from when I also served in the House, and I think he's going to do a great job on that. But Senator Heitkamp and I, as well as the staff behind the scenes, walking back and forth, are trying to determine ways. For instance, we have a bill dealing with individuals that retire, and for that caretaker, for a federal retiree, occasionally there is someone that steps in and has to take care of them in their older age. There's not good protections for that federal retiree built into the system like there is for Social Security or for disability. Federal retirees don't have the same protections for someone coming in and basically ripping off their retirement. So we're working on a bill right now to try to protect some of those federal retirees from being abused in their late retirement years. So there are some things that we can start on and get done that I think are just good for long term for federal employees.